flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby, it's a Friday here in Houston in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Hope you are having a good one. We're going to try our best to make it a better one. When y'all are already having fun, man. We're excited for the opportunity to go to New Orleans. If you haven't heard, shout out to Flight by Yingling, helping us get out there, Low T Center. You know, exclusive furniture gonna get us the hot seat.
Yep,
out there as well, man. It's gonna be really fun. And I mean, people, I hope that you guys feel the excitement that we have. In fact, someone is already asking as you're bringing the brisket, and you know, there's Flight by Yingling being brought by Sean and everything. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, "Have fun in New Orleans." Oh, sorry, that's not the text. The text was for all those going to New Orleans. Which person would be asked to bring the cups to the cookout? And why is it Parker? That's right.
Oh, man. Tyler's bringing the ice, but he's going to have to take like four trips to go get it during the event there.
Look at the shots. Yeah, so I didn't realize I need to bring something. So
no,
I be,
you don't.
I will be pondering throughout the show.
I think I'm going to try to bring
you
something.
You don't need
you
to
said
bring
Clint's already bringing cigars, huh?
Oh,
yes. That's what you said, right?
Oh, I got some Cubans I can bring.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Put my name on the card when you bring these Cubans?
Is that yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Very good. All right. Let's get going on this Friday. And I don't know a better way to start than talking about, well, first of all, get involved with the program, 713-572-4610. Actually, did you have an issue with the way that the Rockets-Grizzlies game closed out? Unfortunately, the thing that we were hoping to do, first time in 15 years it would have happened if you got the job done last night, was the Rockets sweeping an opponent. You were 3-0 against the Grizzlies in this season coming into this game, and you had an opportunity to sweep them. No Ja Morant in this game, no Alperen Şengün on the Rockets side of things.
All-star Alperen.
That's right, all-star Alperen. We'll talk more about that here in a second. But you had an opportunity to sweep them. And, I mean, as close as about 5 minutes, 5.5 minutes to the end of the game, once you were starting to try and get into that clutch time situation, you had probably a good 6-point lead headed towards that space. Unfortunately, I mean, it got really tight, and you had a few opportunities to knock down shots very late, but you fall 120-119 in Memphis to the Grizzlies. And so 3-1 on the season against the Grizzlies, still a good season series, but not that that crossing that threshold that we were kind of hoping. But yeah, man, you lose in this game, and the last couple of possessions, you have Fred VanVleet taking shots from deep that I think had a lot of people in their feelings. And so I will ask you, just like I asked the text line again, and all people on YouTube and the people on Twitch, right? Did you have an issue with the way that game closed out, outside of just the fact that the Rockets did not get a victory?
Yeah, obviously, you know, what do you want? Would be my question, because Fred VanVleet, as we talked about just yesterday, you know, one of the most respected guys, veteran guy, kind of a heartbeat of the team. Sorry for the cliche. But who else would you want to have taken that shot outside of maybe, you know, a drive?
Jalen Green?
Yeah. Well, but Jalen Green was kind of up and down as well. Yeah, Jalen Green would be on the list. But my problem, if you will, was people after the fact saying, oh, that was a horrible shot. And, you know, why is he taking the shot? It wasn't that bad a shot. It really wasn't that
Which
bad.
Which one? The very final
the
possession?
The very final one.
So in the very final possession, if I can try and lay this out, and I probably should have the video in front of me to make sure that my memory, which can sometimes fail me, does not indeed do that in this circumstance, but you have a sideline out of bounds for an opportunity to try and win the game. It's, I mean, just a few seconds left on the clock there at the end of the fourth quarter. You have an inbound on the right side of the floor. The ball comes, Fred VanVleet is inbounding. Ball comes into Amen Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what is abundantly clear and what we actually hear from Ime Udoka after the game is that the plan was for Amen Thompson to try and drive. The opportunity to get the ball on the right wing and turn the corner,
yep,
get to the rim, maybe make a play if somebody crashes in. But Amen Thompson cannot turn the corner. It's excellent defense on that
play.
Well,
they doubled him, they crashed on him. You know, there was a good stop,
yeah,
on the drive, and then the second guy came in and crashed. You got to get rid of the ball there.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he gets rid of the ball, and the ball goes to Fred VanVleet, who had just inbounded the ball, mm-hmm, just gets back inside in play. And then at that point, once he gets the ball back, and we're starting at like about 7 seconds,
yeah,
here, like we're not starting with a whole bunch of time. And so by the time he gets the ball, it's, you're looking at like 5 seconds thereabouts to try and get a shot up.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, at that point, you could get a shot up at that point. And
yeah,
he does. He opts to, he's open. It's a relatively deep three, but not a crazy deep
three.
Well,
he takes a ball fake and then just, well, maybe a foot behind the line, you know, a little more maybe. But, you know, yeah, you wanted the shot to go in, but it was a clean look. If you look at the video, it was a perfectly clean look.
And what's worth noting is that at the time that he gets the ball up, maybe, I mean, at that, once you get the ball over to Fred VanVleet, mm-hmm, with about 7 seconds, there is Jalen Green off to his left, but Jalen Green is being guarded by Jalen Wells.
And he's being denied.
And let's give Jalen Wells, the young buck, mm-hmm, some credit. That is one of the,
yeah,
most talented young players. I know that Reed Sheppard entered the season as the, you know, the odds-on favorite to be Rookie of the Year. Jalen Wells has taken a good amount of that credit there, and mm-hmm, some of that is because of the defense that he has. That was going to be a tough matchup to get the ball over to Jalen Green, mm-hmm, with about 4 seconds left, have him try and shed that defender and get a good look up was going to be tough. So at that point, I kind of like the idea, once that play operates as is, of Fred VanVleet getting a shot up in that time, getting it up early enough to where you could possibly get a rebound. And there was an opportunity, you just couldn't get your hands on the basketball. The thing that frustrated me, mm-hmm, about that possession, and there was the possession before, I also have some, I have a little bit of complaints about, mm-hmm, but that final possession, the thing that upset me was that you got the ball to Amen Thompson. The idea was to turn the corner. I would like for Jalen Green to be one pass away, or even Dylan Brooks, mm-hmm, to be one pass away. I would like for that ball to not have to go back to Fred VanVleet in that instance, get the ball to somebody who, either Dylan Brooks, who when he's one pass away, he's been a really phenomenal threat to knock down 3-point shots. Mm-hmm. Even in this game, he knocked down some good 3-pointers when he just got caught and shot 3 of 7 from deep,
yeah,
in this game. Dylan Brooks was like, he's been solid shooting the ball, especially when it's just catch and shoot. And then Jalen Green, for obvious reason, if you get the ball to him, he is a threat to put the ball on the ground and attack, but then also to knock down some of these kind of grenade type shots when the ball comes to him. That's one of the only things that I have there. But outside of that, once the game was kind of going, once you had that play going with 8 seconds to go, Amen Thompson doesn't get that, and now we're resorting to try and find something, I was okay with the way that it rolled.
This is a team, and maybe this is my bigger point. This is a team that you don't have one guy that you get the ball to, and hell or high water, you're either setting screens for him, he's creating his own shot, and he's going to take the shot. One guy. This team does not have that just yet. What it does have, and when you're making late game, you know, plays and drawing them up, you usually have two or three options. They went through them. They went through Amen first. Didn't work.
Which, can we stop down and,
yeah,
appreciate the fact that,
well, we said it the other day,
just a few days ago,
yeah,
Amen Thompson hits his first game winner.
And they went to
at
him.
At the age of technically 21 at that point. Hello,
yeah,
happy birthday to Amen and Ausar Thompson. Amen and Ausar Thompson,
yeah,
who are now 22. And he has the play drawn up for him, or
right,
drawn up for him.
But it's not,
I think that's
just
really interesting.
What I'm saying is, it's not just for him, where there's going to be two or three screens. He gets the ball, hell or high water. He drives and either forces or gets a shot. This team doesn't have that. Amen was,
sure,
the first option. When they're drawing up this play, it's option one, option two, option three. That's how this team is built. And you know who the three options were? Amen one, VanVleet two, Jalen Green three. It might have been Jalen Green two, but he was being denied.
Well, and he was on the other side of the floor.
So
he might have been more decoy.
He was
decoy
kind of on the 45.
Yeah, he might have been, yeah, more decoy at that point. Or,
but what I'm saying, those were the three guys,
yeah,
on the perimeter, either driving or waiting for a screen and a pass. What's wrong with that? That's what this team is. Like, Amen didn't have it, and then it was either Jalen Green or Fred VanVleet. It looked like VanVleet. He did a ball fake, took the shot, I got no problem with it.
Yeah, I don't have problems with that. Now, I do. I appreciate the text line always cleaning me up. 713-572-4610. At that point, that final shot, Dylan Brooks was out. He had fouled out at that point.
Yeah.
I think the reason why Dylan Brooks came up for me was there was possessions prior where it felt like, hey, and this is where my actual issue comes up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you had opportunities in possessions prior because you had an 8-point lead mm-hmm. with about 6 minutes to go, something to that effect. I believe it was 115-107.
Yeah.
That's when this team stopped, like, focusing on the things that they did well. When I'm watching a basketball game, at least when I'm doing it the way that I'm supposed to,
mm-hmm.
On every given possession, I'm asking myself, what are they attempting to do right now?
Yeah.
And for the Rockets, most of the time, what they were attempting to do was they were looking at the Memphis Grizzlies. They have some big guys out there like Zach Edey.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Brandon Clark, he's a little bit more versatile, but they have some big guys out there. I think LaRavia was playing a little bit big. Santi Aldama
mm-hmm.
is another one of those bigs. Basically, look, tall guys, maybe not the best movement. They're going to play in a drop coverage, which means if you play pick and roll, you now either have a runway or you have an opportunity
to
attack.
They're going under the screen.
They were attacking the hell out of that. And it felt like in those moments where you had an 8-point lead and you were coming into that clutch time, you saw a number of possessions where they did not stick to that
mm-hmm.
attack. You know, what are we trying to do and attack that? You had some possessions where guys went ISO on a defender that has some pretty good, you know, mm-hmm. has a good opportunity of staying with you. Trying to go ISO on Desmond Bane is probably not where I go. If you get that switch and you have Luke Kennard in front of you, let's go cook, baby.
Yeah.
And I think the intentionality waned at some times where you put more pressure on the last couple of possessions where you get Fred VanVleet with the ball in his hands and it doesn't move and he puts up a three that misses on the penultimate possession. And then on the final possession, that's when now there's so much pressure on Amen Thompson to turn the corner and he can't. And now you end up with a shot that's not the worst shot in the world for Fred VanVleet, but it just doesn't go. And so I feel like for me, I think the intentionality is the thing that I will harp on more in those big moments. And I think that's where guys like Fred VanVleet, but that's where, and Dylan Brooks are usually good because of the veteran status that they bring. But that's where I would like to see Jalen Green have some growth and Amen Thompson have some growth where we stay locked in all the way. Where even in those possessions where it's like, yeah, we got a lead, I can get a little.
Yeah.
No. Stick to the game plan, and you can see that game out a little bit better, in my opinion.
Right on cue, I got a text from a very well respected basketball coach, and he brings up a good question. He really does because I was talking. He agrees with my.
Who is it? Go ahead.
Yeah, name sources.
I know.
Name Lopez.
Very well-known basketball
coach. John Lucas?
Listening right now. No, not him. Who?
Is it Rudy Tom Johnovich?
I actually agreed with
Mike D'Antoni.
I'm not answering any of y'all. Who agreed with my point about they don't have that guy, right? They don't have that guy.
Yeah.
He said, that's why you actually do need to trade for a Fox, De'Aaron Fox. You know, because this is going to happen again. You know, but because the shot just didn't go in, and sometimes you just chalk it up to three games in four nights or whatever it was. And
it was the third game, but I mean, you had the night off in between. But yes,
and
three
it didn't
games
go
four
in.
Nights.
But like, if you know, coaches, hell, you know, my little pea brain basketball brain would have drawn up more than one option there, and it probably would have gone in that order. You know, Amen Thompson, Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, if he has a spot. But they don't have the guy. Had John Morant played and they had the last shot, we know who would have taken the shot. Hell or high water. It would have been John Morant.
They have a couple of guys that could take it.
But, I mean,
well,
it would have been John Morant.
Or at least he's likely initiating your action there.
And that's actually an interesting question. Is that why you do need to still continue to have the guy?
I think that's why as a team you eventually want to get there. But I think that we continue. I'll come back and I'll fall back to the status quo here is that I think that's an eventual thing. You're good enough as is to feel some things out and figure out if you have guys that could build up to that.
Yeah.
And also, I think maybe more so this latter than that former argument, which is I think that you have a position of power to where you can have the right guy come to you.
Sure.
Right. You have time where you can wait. You have a whole bunch of assets. You don't have to jump at the first. All-star caliber player. Because you mentioned De'Aaron Fox. He has been an all-star once. And in that same year, he was an all-pro. And he's a good player, but he has his faults as well. Do you want to just jump at that?
But the speed.
He does.
All that stuff.
I want to know who the coach was texting you, man. Who is that?
Go ahead and send your guests in. 713-572-4610. It's also worth noting that as much as we're talking about, your final options or guys that you like initiating offense, Alperen Şengün was not playing
that
in this
too.
game. And he is one of those guys that offers an opportunity to at the very least be a hub. and a guy who could be the deciding factor in that moment with the ball in his hands and finding the right person. And Alper Sengun did not play in this game. And I actually really liked that decision, right? Mm-hmm. Going in, we talked about it yesterday. He was working on shoot around. And, you know, guys are going to shoot even if sometimes they don't end up playing. But out of an abundance of caution, I would have loved for them to win this game, to get that sweet season series sweep. This is not an end-all, be-all game for this team by any means. And I'm not saying that Alperen Sengun would have, you know, drastically hurt himself and you would have lost him for weeks at a time or what have you. But why risk it? However, he wasn't there on the floor.
No.
And this is where I would like to take the time to salute Alperen Sengun.
How about that?
All-star. He was announced to be an all-star before this game. Actually, not just before this game, but before the prior game on the TNT doubleheader. In fact, Kenny Smith did the honors. I think we have a little audio of that. We'll play that later. But yeah, man, he first time all-star for Alperen Sengun, the second Turkish-born player to be an all-star after Mehmet Okur, a player that I very much despise, not because of him as a dude, but because he played for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
Like, that is one of those things that I will hold as a personal grudge for a very, very long time. But Mehmet Okur, clearly, I think Alperen has a lot of heavy respect for Mehmet. I think... Adam Spillane was recounting a story in which he had asked or he was talking to Alperen about it, and he, you know, Alperen made sure to shout out that Mehmet Okur. But yeah, I believe the third youngest player to be announced, or Rocket rather, to be announced as an all-star. Do you remember the other two?
Oh, since when now?
Just as a Rocket.
Just ever?
Drafted.
Not drafted. Announced to be an all-star. Oh, well, no, this is the thing.
Yeah.
The drafted one is tough.
Because somebody else actually drafted him.
It's the weird NBA thing where nobody has...
Oh, God. Yeah,
nobody does draft day trades. Technically, you're drafted to a team and then traded afterwards in order to make it league official and all that. So technically, yes, he goes as like a Thunder draftee or whatever. But I believe first home.
Somebody that actually played for the Rockets.
Yeah.
And young in age.
Yeah.
Hit me with him.
You absolutely have Yao Ming.
Oh, of course.
And of course, the dream himself, Hakeem.
Okay.
So yeah, third youngest all-star behind those two. Some good company. Both of those ended up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you think? Man, Sengun, what a story. I mean, he's been playing pro basketball since he was 16.
That's right.
That's incredible. And on this game, look, overall, like, we can talk about who, you know, how you play the last, couple possessions or whatever. But overall, this was, for me, kind of a shoulder shrug type of game. And by that, I don't mean to downplay it, because you want to win them as many, if not all, that you can. But these games happen. I mean, who would have thought that Luke Kennard would play out of his mind like he did? And, you know, there was no Sengun. And it, like I said earlier, the three games in four. Like, sometimes you just say, you know what, 120-19. Those happen.
I think 121.
I think my biggest.
That would be a real story if it was 120-19. Oh boy, got drug up and down the floor. Oh my God.
I think my question after last night was, who is the guy on the Rockets?
That's what we're talking about.
Who is the last shot guy?
I think it's one of those three.
I feel like it should. I mean, I feel like in the perfect world, it should have been Jalen Green, but he's kind of, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like this is where I refer to the man who fouled out in Dylan Brooks. Sometimes you, sometimes me, but always we. I feel like that is very much the philosophy.
That's
here
the type of team they are this
that's
year.
That's exactly
man.
What they are, right?
Hot
now.
Hand, man. Whoever seems to be going on that night, and whoever
and I like it.
Is best
that's
situated
fine.
Is the one to
that's
go.
That's cool, but these trade rumors still gonna be popping up, man.
Of course they're
gonna get a big time superstar.
I mean, trade deadline is February 6th. I feel like I'm rooting for that if for no other reason than we could stop the trade rumors because the trade deadline will have hit.
Yeah.
Someone said it was Guy V. Lewis from the Great Basketball Court in the Sky from the 281. Was it Bill O'Brien? You didn't specifically say it was a basketball coach.
I said, yeah, I did.
Okay, from
it was
346. Was it Van Chancellor? Ooh, that's a good answer. I like that. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a funky Friday. What makes it funky? I don't know. I feel funky today. Deal with it. But coming up next, all right, it feels like Chip Kelly might be out of the running. Are you good with that for the offensive coordinator job of the Texans? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.